that has made all sorts of applications possible. It's really interesting things that are coming through, at least to me now, on CD-ROM, and of course the thing that I'm working on out at Santa Barbara, that's going to be that already is available in part as an online database and everything. And so I think we're just seeing the beginning of what those things are going to amount to. One day, I hope, something approaching a coherent national discography. Certainly the 78 RPM era is being taken care of very nicely. Long play records and later things that were done via tape editing and overdubbing and other kinds of performance creations that did not exist in real time have presented other problems that I guess will have to be dealt with on other occasions. Three very astute individuals are over here to my right, to your left. Bob George is going to begin the presentation with discussion of a very exciting operation that he has put together on something slightly more than a shoestring, and has created a very viable entity out of it. Probably because you're in New York and you're extremely well connected in the larger performance. Anyway, you're going to talk about that. I don't want to give you a speech for you. Mike Gray, everyone knows Mike through years at the.
Where? Oh, I'm sorry.
Talk about tunnel vision. Yes, that'll help. They look just like mine, except yours see better. He's good. What are you talking about, Mike? I looked at this and I forgot. Oh, okay. This is worm, and as a jazz vernacular hillbilly or something, this is something I leave strictly to the experts. What Mike doesn't know about worm is not worth knowing. Matt Jarrah is my old friend and your neighbor from nearby Maryland, and Matt has extended the documentation principle. Matt is also a lifelong computer expert and has extended the principle to non-sound recordings and applied some of those techniques. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but it's going to be interesting to hear, because I have a feeling that what Matt will mention will apply to some other fields of documentation as well. So please make Bob George welcome. And
hi. As you may know, the archives recently partnered with Columbia University, and this is their facade, and you can see we're already starting to make some changes in the way that Columbia looks at things. I always love the idea of Cher, Cicero, and Marley. So our mandate is to enrich and enhance course study, to make available musical components to any interested professors, to initiate music-based projects and events, and to bring our cataloging and eventually the collection to the university. So it's a large mandate, and we'll see what happens. Our first project with Columbia that we'd like to show today is called the International Discography, or the Internet Discography, or the ID. And we own all of those names. For some reason, Com, Info, and all of these things were available. And our idea is to make sure that all of the information that we have, the metadata we have at the archive, is available to anyone for free online. We have over 2 million sound recordings now at the library. About 500,000 are fully cataloged, and that means down to a song title. We've developed this system on our own through homegrown software, and over 24 years, we do everything now in FileMaker, and all of the fields are marked compatible. Basically, the archive does research, and we do a lot of research, and we do research for really impatient people. So we need to know and find things very quickly. Our last job was we did scans, 900 scans for the Grammy Hall of Fame of LP covers and 78 labels. And that just opened in LA. We're doing work for the Verve reissue series of jazz recordings, and they're using our scans to redo the covers on the new CDs. We're working frantically for emergency sound for the new Ang Lee film, which is called Taking Woodstock, and we're working on Jonathan Demme's Bob Marley biography. So we do a lot of work for people who need things done in a hurry. So we're trying to make our database and everything work a lot more like Google and Amazon as opposed to OCLC or any university-based system. We don't use any codes. Entries are in plain English. We rely on interns and volunteers to do the work. It means we get a lot of mistakes, but it also means we get a lot done, and we can teach them how to do the cataloging in about 30 minutes. And also, a lot of teens can distinguish between death metal, hardcore, speedcore, goth better than most archivists can. So having young kids really is a blessing in a lot of ways. So what I'm going to show today, which I wish the resolution could be bigger, it's a segment of what we've cataloged, and we're going to do this live. There's no PowerPoint here. Basically, this is part of the World Music Collection. So there are 80,000 world music discs at the archive. 40,000 are completely cataloged, and that's what you're seeing here. I think it's 36,414. And about 20,000 are still just sitting around in boxes, and we hope to get to them soon. This is the layout for the ID. The search screen is the same as the results screen. There's not going to be anything else to click to as we get started. There's nothing else at all to go to. We'll show you a little bit of the second screen as we get further on. Anybody who's tried to search for things and find out exactly what they want would realize that having it on a straight line and having enough information that you can tell one thing from another would be really helpful. So we have standard fields, an artist, a title of the sound recording, a record company, then there's a lookup field that tells you where that record company, which country or territory that's from, a manufacturer's number, a date, and three fields that'll describe the format. So it'd be the size, the speed, and the carrier. So an LP, CD, 8-track, cassette. And we do catalog all formats. Then we have this, which is what we call a wild card field. You could enter any of those fields in the wild card, but then you have an access to another field that you don't see, and that's keywords, and that's anything politically incorrect, strange about the artist or the sound recording that we think would help you in searches. Because again, when we're asked for searches, our searches are, can you find me songs about God from 1946? And so those are the kind of things that we have to throw in as keywords, and we're constantly doing that kind of information. So now I'm going to do a simple search for somebody I've talked about before, which is Fela Kuti. Again, remember, this is just the world music part, and it's just 40,000 things. But basically, the idea is that you're going to come up immediately with 194 Fela Kuti recordings. This is a very large world music collection that we have at the library. Now, there's no limit to how many recordings that will be displayed. You're going to be able to scroll down and look at the whole list at the same time. So you don't have to be limited to, a lot of libraries will say there's 10 records to look at, or 25 records to look at, or 50 to look at. So you can basically download the whole 500,000 things. It might take a little while, but we think we can make it pretty quick. And the results can be saved by users in a variety of ways. We're going to make it so that you can download it as a FileMaker document, as a tab-separated document, as a comma-separated document, as a Excel file, however you want to download the information so that you can flow it into whatever you're using. The idea is to make sure that this information is useful to you. We're also going to include an Xbox so that if you want to use it to keep track of your collection, you can just put an X there and use it in that way. There seems, now if you look at a lot of this stuff, we can sort it by alphabetical, by title. If you look, it might seem that there's duplicates, but basically these are different recordings from three separate countries and three separate record companies, but then there are two numbers that are the same. So we add an again, so that you can find out what you're looking for in one line, we add an asterisk so that you know that we know it's actually a different recording. And again, we are going to urge people, at least at the early stages, if you really need information and this doesn't provide enough, well, you could always call us. We think that's really a good way to do it. We think this should simplify searches and avoid a lot of irrelevant data. I mean, if anybody's ever tried, and I don't know if this crowd did, but if you tried to search for Madonna in any university-based or OCL-based or catalog, you're going to get a lot of material that maybe, as someone interested in sound recordings, is going to just clutter up your search. You're going to get paintings, you're going to get sculptures, you're going to get religious texts and things like that. So I did do put some fake stuff that's not world music. Whoops, I got to learn how to spell, though. It doesn't spell for us. So you immediately get 130 hits, and you'll also notice at the top is the Madonna of India, which is Alicia Madonna. So it can't make those kinds of distinctions. But basically, you're going to be able to, in any sound recording of any popular artist, you should be able to find what you're looking for pretty quickly. And obviously, our job's a lot easier than a lot of other institutions because we only deal with sound recordings. And we didn't inherit any system to work with. We basically had to do it on our own. And I think that we're going to look at another thing. We'll go back to Fela real quick and look at another one of the recordings. I'm going to show you the second field that we should be mounting soon, but at least a year away. Whoops, again, I've got to learn to spell. So army arrangement, and basically, again, there's three of them by celluloid, but they all have different numbers. We catalog individual objects. So if one sound recording is different from another sound recording because it has a different number, then it's a different object. So if we go to the U.S. official one, this is what the complete, eventually what we'll be offering as complete cataloging. So we have an accession number up there that's composed of the year that the recording came out, when it was cataloged, so that was the 1656th record cataloged, and then a carrier identifier, so 2 is a CD, 1 is a LP, 4 is a cassette. Something that a lot of people don't do, we have who owns the company at the time. This is really important for us because, again, we do publishing searches all the time. So Universal owned MCA at the time of this recording. We have the UPC code, which is becoming our most reliable way of identifying one recording from another. In the modern era, then here's those keywords that will help us find anything so that we know that his kind of music he performed was Afrobeat, it has a lot of funk and soul in it, that he was a political dissident, that he played the saxophone, the keyboards, he's black, he's a man, he lives in Lagos, he's from Nigeria, and he's a Yoruban person. So that, and then we'll have this field here, which is general notes, which also right now functions as a local notes. So if there's something about the cover or something unusual about the recording from another one that's similar, we try to put it in there. And I will do another search here to give you something that we do that very few people do, which is we keep track of three other fields, which is songwriter, publisher, and the rights organization. For 5 years, we were hired by the Harry Fox Agency to catalog information of any song that made the Billboard charts. So in the popular music, we did about 10,000 recordings that were done this way. But in the world music, there's maybe only a couple hundred. But again, when you download this information, you're going to get the whole list. Again, something like Mark Anthony, you can see that it gets really complicated in terms of trying to figure out the publishing information. Let's go back to this. I'm going to rush because we've got a time thing. Okay, another thing is spelling, and it becomes a problem for people doing searches. So if you live in Rio in the Southern Hemisphere, you come from this country, but if you cut a recording here in America, you come from this country, and that's always a problem with people trying to figure out how to find something. But what we've done is entered all what we think are important, relevant terms in the keywords field. So it's going to find you all of your Brazilian records pretty quickly. This is a collection we're working on now, and we can do another thing. We can keep it as Brazil and enter a label. This is David Byrne's label, and he's made sure that we've gotten all of his recordings from Luaca Bop, which is these are the ones that are from Brazil, and David's helping us build this collection. There isn't a major Brazilian collection in America, And so David is also donating his entire collection of over 5,000 Brazilian LPs. So that'll be coming to the archive soon. We try to accommodate all these kind of cultural strange spellings of things, and Brazil is a very, very good example of how that all works. Another thing that people can do, I think, that's going to be really helpful is that you can look at, let's say, Muslims from Senegal. And you'll find recordings that way, and you'll find there's 128 there, but you can also do something like just Islam and then find a larger group in that way. So the same thing again with Nigeria. If you wanted to go just search Afrobeat, a kind or a style of music, that's going to be there. You can sort it, get an idea, and what you're dealing with here is a band. The first band is from Senegal, but they played Afrobeat, Deli Abiodun, very famous song with a begins as a juju recording and ends as an Afrobeat recording. Tony Allen, who was Fela's drummer and developed the style with him. You've got Antibalas here, which is a New York-based Afrobeat modern band. You'll start to get an enormous amount of things. You have Angelique Kidjo, who's from Benin, but she uses the rhythm. The Kula Lobitos, that's Fela's first band. They played with James Brown in Los Angeles in the 60s. You have, and then you have all the Fellas that you've just found. You go further down, Wes Nkosi, South African, Sunny Akusin, and High Life. This is a song that I produced for Shaniki, and it indeed contains Afrobeat in it. And literally, you're able to sort and deal with the material any way you want, and we think in a really simple manner. Obviously, there's limitations that it's on one line. Hopefully, we'll catch them as we make it available. And that's it. Anyway, this summer, it should be up and running for everybody to use. Do you want to do questions? Okay.
How are you dealing with non-Roman alphabets?
Well, I'll show you. This is a good example. That's how we've been dealing with it. It's a really large problem. It's like I said, one of the things we're doing is it's going to be called a crash course, and we're going to try to catalog all the Islamic records in the world in one day. And basically try to get 150 institutions together from all over the world. We're going to base it at the Global Center Columbia has in Amman, Jordan. Yusuf Nador is going to do a concert. We're going to try to get all these people together to say, hey, I've got a box of records over there that I don't know what they say. And hopefully we can do that. And then there's Cyrillic. There's so many problems with that that are abandoned often because they're difficult. So we're going to try to find ways to give a focus to the difficult things, and hopefully we can do a little bit better job. Again, we're a very small organization. Yes?
I was wondering how many stations do you have where people do inputs?
We only have 4 full-time people. Okay. So basically, right, a good person can do 100 sound recordings in a day. If he doesn't do a lot of detail. No, it's the basic information and the song titles.
And then these go automatically into your master?
Yes. And like, well, I mean, we can look, I mean, the things that are relevant. So, Chris, these are 187 Arhuli records that are at the library. That are just relevant to this database. Even though, you know, these are people who are not mainstream American performers. So your Tejano Conjunto and your Cajun stuff is going to be in this database.
Can you also immediately put this on the internet?
Yes, that's what we're working at this summer. It should be available this summer, or at least by the fall through Columbia. We've only been with them, it's only been 2 months, so it's moving a little slow, obviously. It's a big organization. We have to learn our way around, but I think it's really possible. We have great people talking to us. I think it's going to be fine. Yes?
You said that the rights organization gave you permission to
No. We work for Harry Fox. Harry Fox keeps track of mechanical rights. So if you press a sound recording, you have to pay a license to do that under U.S. law. Harry Fox basically keeps records in order to make sure that the record companies have listed the proper author and publisher and rights organizations so that the publishers can collect their money. So we were... Or any use.
Well,
I mean any use where it's broadcast.
Right, but what you're doing has not to do with broadcast, it has to do with displaying the characteristics
right.
of the recording.
This is just
that's free. I mean right. There's no restriction on that.
Right, and even displaying the cover is legal.
Oh, I see that you're doing that.
Right. In other words, there's an exception to copyright law to display the cover of a book and the cover of a sound recording, otherwise no one could advertise.
So often
that one more question.
Okay. One more thing is about these publishers. You see, they sometimes get sold, and then And also, composers very often are not correctly given.
Well, also on a lot of rap records, they'll list the publisher alphabetically, as opposed to linked to a song. So it can be any variety of things. But the only way that we can do research is deal with what we have at the time. And what we found consistently is we look at the back of a sound recording, we call people who are in the band in order to search out the rights and find out who the actual owner is of a sound recording. It's just legwork. It's like anything else. So the more you know and the more you have in one place, the easier it is to proceed. But if anybody wants to play with it or see it more after this session, we'll sit out there.